Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 55.
This week on the podcast, the DOMA and Prop A cases provide a boon to the struggling line standing industry in D.C.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has clearly seen Wag the Dog and enjoys futzing around on Photoshop.
And North Dakota moves forward with their draconian anti-abortion laws, making it the freest state in the union, according to libertarians.
New Hampshire is now the most dangerous state in the union for women because it banned their right to shoot anyone arbitrarily.
And Don Young is staking his claim as the greatest congressional quote maker, trying to oust the ethically challenged Michelle Bachmann.
Soledad O'Brien has her last week at CNN. We'll miss her.
We'll miss you.
All this and more. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live. Well, this podcast is going to be right in Lila and I's wheelhouse.
Yep.
Because it's like a whole week of gay stuff.
It's our once a month.
Lila just said, how are we going to start this? And I was like, well, we'll just say it's a really gay podcast. And she goes, we say that at least once a month. And I was like, well, perfect.
It's been all the news.
We told you last week that we were going to have a lot of gay news
and
this week.
And we are going to deliver.
Here we are.
We intend to. First of all, there were like 1,000 random people who had their own gay news because
almost everyone
came out of the woodwork at the very last minute.
Everybody knew that they sort of had to get in on the... You know, everybody likes to talk about being on the right side of history.
Right.
And the court cases
for
this
week.
As
of last week, a lot of people weren't on the right side of history.
It was like a flood of people. And not all
of them. A mass exodus from the wrong side of history.
Not all of them totally got there.
No.
But,
of course not.
You know, anyway. But Claire McCaskill.
Right.
Interestingly enough.
Because
she's from Missouri.
Right.
But she's also just won re-election, so she's there for another 6 years.
And she's not going to get re-elected, or she is. Like, she's one of those people that may not get re-elected because she's really too far left for her district, so she might as well go for it. But she might get re-elected just because she's already been elected. So
You never know. That happens with people.
But this isn't going to make or break anything.
People vote for people just because
they've already heard of them. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. She might be fine.
Mark Warner.
From Virginia.
Kay Hagan. Really... Just cutting it close.
Under the wire.
Yeah.
Kay Hagan.
And
that one did not make me happy.
It made
me happy in the sense that she got around to it. But she's from North Carolina. And, you know, they just voted against marriage equality in North Carolina. So where the fuck was she 6 months ago?
Cowering. Which is where she was until, like, Thursday.
And now it's popular, so she sort of, like, figured she'd get around to it. So she can kiss off, as far as I'm concerned.
John Tester announced on Thursday, after all of the cases, so he's not on the right side of history.
Also, he's still only evolving.
Yeah, that he's only evolving. Whatever
Why
that
bother?
Means. Like, what kind of announcement is that?
Shut up, John Tester.
Don't
you're from
make
Montana.
An
it's not helping anything. Call a press conference to say
I'm
you're evolving
about
on
things.
Gay marriage. Twit.
Lisa Murkowski, yeah.
Same thing. She's a Republican, though.
Yeah, no,
so that's something.
She's sort of the last of the moderate Republican school.
Yeah, she's from Alaska.
Right.
She's real mavericky.
She's real mavericky because she won a write-in campaign.
Yeah.
And her last name is Murkowski. It's hard to spell. So that was quite a feat.
There's two K's in it.
Yeah, that's more K's
normal.
Than you should put in your name.
Yeah. Anyway, there may have even been others. We may have missed others.
There was literally just like nonstop.
Every
news
other
about
headline was just
who had endorsed gay marriage
coming out of the closet,
yeah.
If you will.
The supporting equal rights closet where they should have all not been in. Like that closet.
Yeah.
It's a real mystery as it was anyway.
Well, Hillary started it.
Yeah. Well, I called this pulling a Hillary all week because.
That's...
It was just like a last minute declaration of support to look good.
Yeah.
Like all of these, and all of them were like, I will continue to focus on economic issues. Like they were
no,
all like, remember, I have other qualities.
Right. I'm announcing this and let's never talk about it again.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, so they all got that out of their system by, you know, sort of Thursday, which was the.
Right.
Well, no, I guess the cases were on Tuesday.
The cases were on Tuesday and Wednesday. The Thursday people were the last minute people who were like, well, we're still in the right week.
We're still talking about it.
Yeah, I'll do it now.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a press conference slot earlier in the week with so many people announcing.
And nobody was paying attention
because
it was Tuesday and Wednesday and all anybody was talking about was the cases. Nobody wanted to hear from Lisa
John
Murkowski
Tester. Yeah, exactly.
Tuesday. We're bigger fish to fry on Tuesday, which was Prop 8.
Yeah.
Prop 8 was Tuesday.
DOMA was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Apparently, John Roberts has a gay cousin who made it to the audience for the Prop 8 case. there was like a whole industry set up around these cases, which they had done before for the Obamacare case as well. But like apparently Washington has these like line standing services, are all courier services that just also offer line standing.
Yeah.
Where basically like you pay like between $36 and $50 an hour.
Yeah.
And they just send someone to like wait in line for a week in front of the Supreme Court.
You go to linestanding.com.
You go to linestanding.com. Yeah. And you basically like end up paying like $6,000.
Right, because people were lining up. Because like,
people were lining up
weeks in advance.
In advance. And then there were also a bunch of people that just went early and like, it was like getting into a concert, I feel like. They were all like, they're bringing donuts to each other. Some of them were playing episodes of West Wing on their computer for everyone. Yeah. Like, a lot was going on that was highly suspect. Probably.
Yeah.
You've never heard us mention Keith, probably. No. But here it is.
Anyway.
She's
a real West Wing lover.
So true. I would imagine that this would have been an audience that could have gotten behind that.
Yeah.
Anyone who would wait in line for a week to go see Prop 8 on trial.
She also could have shown them episodes of any USA show or Boston Legal.
Boston Legal, yeah. That anyway. Would have been the other one. But, so there was like a real industry set up around these cases that was sort of, it brings to light some of the more sort of entrepreneurial things that are going on in Washington these days. You have to make a buck somehow.
Yeah.
And I think it was a lot of lawyers that were holding these spaces.
You really, you know, probably had some rich gays to prey upon.
Exactly. Yeah, well,
The gay mafia.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of Rush Limbaugh, we'll get to that in a little bit.
They said that the Obamacare tickets went for like $860 some odd. These tickets were going for like $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
This is a much hotter ticket.
Yeah.
If you are going to set up a line standing service.
Yeah.
This is the right crowd.
Now, we're going to get to sort of the specifics of the cases, but if we're to believe a poll that just came out recently of conservatives, this thing, the Supreme Court is probably just going to turn America into just sort of like a gay marriage mecca, because there was a new poll that was done where conservative Republicans think the Supreme Court is like hyper-liberal.
Which...
Half of Republicans.
Surprise me, but also sort of points to the lack of fact-based knowledge.
What was
that? Boy, that really took me a long time to get at. That is going around in conservative circles.
Yeah.
Because this is about as unfacty as you can get. This is just sort of, this is truthiness at its finest. But like, but I'm glad to hear. I feel like this sort of frees up the Supreme Court. Because now they don't have to be like, well, we need to appeal to our conservative base. They can't appeal to a conservative base that doesn't even believe that this court is conservative.
Anyway. No. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this court is crazy conservative. If the conservative base won't believe that now, then they
never will.
They might as well give up.
Yeah.
We might as well turn into, you know, whatever kind of horrifying progressive republic they're always imagining that we are already. We might as well just do it. Like, what's holding us back at that point?
Right.
Can't win. So that's the cultural divide really laid out for you right there.
Yeah.
The national cultural divide. But as far as the cases go, it seems like DOMA's going down. And I said to Brent in the middle of the week, I was like, I never thought that was a law that could stand up to court.
That was always the sketchy one.
It's like discriminatory law.
The Prop 8 one is a little more fuzzy, but I mean, DOMA is just sort of like, you can't have states making their own laws and then a federal law that's not allowed. I mean, it just doesn't, you're right. It doesn't hold water. I mean, there's no way conservative or liberal that I think that one will probably end up probably going down, and it won't even, that could be like a 7-2 type situation.
Yeah.
With just the two crazies.
Well, it's like, first of all, it claims that like states are making their own decisions about this, but it puts pressure on state decisions that by not allowing them to be final decisions, because it says at the federal level, they won't recognize a law that was made at the state level, which they're not supposed to do.
Right.
But also I always feel like there's a difference between like actively banning something and passively banning something. And like to pass a law in this day and age that defines marriage in specific terms, it's like crazy pants and everyone knows it. It's actively discriminatory in a way that's not just that law
was written to be discriminatory.
Right. It doesn't have another purpose.
No.
And it, if nothing else, sort of defines marriage in a religious sense, which is irrelevant to the Constitution anyway.
Yeah.
So there was just like no way that
No.
Like there's discrimination and then there's discrimination. And that's sort of like the second discrimination that I said, which I meant to be the bad kind, you know, the like actively bad kind. Sure.
But I mean, all of the sort of, you know, legal pundits were really seemed to be pretty certain of that. Although
the
they
New
were
York
also...
Times declare the New York Times never takes a stand on anything, and the New York Times declared it was going down.
Yeah, of course, you know, a lot of people declared that Obamacare was going down.
Well,
too,
Obamacare
so
almost
can't...
did though. It was hinging on one vote.
Yes,
I mean that was a much that was a less clear cut circumstance. I sort of feel like once the Times is making proclamations, like you're in pretty safe territory because they never say anything fun at all. They're the worst pundits ever.
Yeah. And in terms of Prop 8, it seems like what most people are saying about that is that they will probably just say, why are we hearing this case?
Yeah.
And send it back to the lower courts and stay out of it, which would mean I can get married, probably. Yeah. it seems like Californians may get to start getting gay married again, potentially.
Yeah.
But they're not going to overturn this and like suddenly have gay marriage going on in every corner of the country. It's just not going to happen.
I don't think that
sadly. I mean,
and I think that the one of the other things that the Times was talking about was whether or not the sort of like mass popularity of this issue will be a setback to it on the political end, because the justices may just be like, well, it's obvious where public opinion is going. We're not going to bother getting into it.
Yeah.
But public opinion is going that way, so
public opinion
that's
is going that
sort of
way,
not
but
the
it
end
also
of the world.
Is, you know, a lot of people sort of compare this to the first time that interracial marriage was heard, where they sort of did the same thing, where it was sort of like, well, public opinion is going this way, but they still had to hear it, you know, 20-some-odd years later. So
it's
hopefully
this is
that doesn't have to happen, but...
I would like us to stop having to report so extensively on this issue. I feel like it's
you're over it.
I'm over it. I feel like gay should be over it. Everyone should be over it. But I feel like this was such a like fast public opinion shift that it can't be like interracial marriage where it took a while for these sort of like ingrained things to catch up.
Yeah.
Partially because it was taking two groups of people that are sort of like, you know, it had to do with minorities, it had to do with women, it had to do with all of these groups of people that have all been historically discriminated against, that were all sort of like having to catch up with the future. But this is sort of like, this is something that young people are into, so there's no turning back on it.
Right.
And it's sort of like, it's already moved so quickly. I mean, I've never seen so many political people of any stripe make an announcement that, you know, about something like this all
in almost,
1 week.
It's almost becoming a litmus test, really.
Yeah, it's doing that over the course of a week. Like, it just took this week for that to become a litmus test. So I feel like they can't hang on quite as long with this as they've done.
Well, and
done
also,
past.
It's just sort of like, I think that if nothing else, and this sort of was, you know, the cover of Time magazine this week is, women and two women kissing and two men kissing. And it's sort of, I think their headline was something to the effect of like gay marriage has already won basically. And they were talking about not just in public opinion, but the fact that it was heard in the Supreme Court. I mean, even Bill O'Reilly sort of, and we're going to get to him a little bit later, but I mean to hear the arguments against both DOMA and Prop 8,
they're
were just
bonkers.
And to hear them sort of out loud. I mean, we heard a lot of these stories about literal just like gasps in the room from the people who were
there was one argument that was one of these cases where they leaned really heavily on like straight marriage being, you know, different because you can procreate, and everyone was sort of like, what about old people being married, like what about people who get married and don't want to procreate, what does that have to do with anything? And it was sort of like the sort of like logical disconnect between marriage as a modern institution, even as it is now for straight couples, and the marriage of like 1900 was like sort of striking.
And, you know, we heard Justice Kennedy talk about, you know, because gay people are allowed to adopt children in many states, and he sort of spoke sort of profoundly about what it means for children of gay couples to like not have their parents to be able to have the same rights as everybody else, which I think, so just being able to sort of have those things heard allowed in a public sphere is sort of what you want if you're gay.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway.
Apparently, also, according to Think Progress, who always comes up with an angle that
they've got an angle.
They always have an angle that they can...
Sometimes it's wrong.
Sometimes it's
wrong.
We've taken issue with them before. But according to them, striking down DOMA would actually raise revenue for the government. Not a ton, but it's
more than it's more cheaper than getting rid keeping of, like, it. PBS.
Exactly. Which is, yeah. You know, or which is the other NEA conservative whatever, talking point
like, that everybody wants to get rid of. Yeah.
Apparently, having DOMA in place increased the deficit by like $1 billion, which for budget talk is not huge, but like we said, it's cheaper than getting rid of NPR.
Yeah.
So,
but apparently it would sort of, if they got rid of it, it would raise tax revenues and it would
cut the cost on a lot of the social programs that we're acting like we can't afford anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Because suddenly there would be spousal benefits involved.
Yeah.
So there's even an economic argument for it.
Yeah.
It just at this point seems silly. But literally paying to not allow gays to marry.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's costing us money.
But obviously the best stories out of the week were just the response from the crazies about this.
Pundits.
Because,
you know, we began this podcast with Sandra Fluke.
Yes.
Podcast with Rush Limbaugh. And that was because the interesting thing about Sandra Fluke was not just Rush Limbaugh's response to her. That was what made the case sort of famous. But like what everyone said. And this is sort of a similar situation.
It is.
It's like this sort of narrow, seemingly innocuous issue that pundits are sort of like a good sort of give you a good sense of where the conservative movement is right now.
Yeah.
And it does not look good for them.
No. And Rush Limbaugh was at it again.
Yeah.
So just bringing it home.
Always.
And he is concerned about the gay mafia.
They can be scary. Scary bunch.
Well, it's real. People. If you're listening from someplace that is not West Hollywood.
You wouldn't know this, maybe.
And think maybe that was a thing that Will and Grace made up.
Incorrect. No, that's
it exists. It's very
real. We've encountered the gay mafia.
So Rush Limbaugh's concern about it is sort of hilarious, but also, you know.
For someone like Rush Limbaugh, possibly a legitimate concern.
Yeah. Anyway, what he said specifically was, he says, there's a gay mafia that has inflicted the fear of death, political death in the Republican Party, for example. There's a lot of money. They donate most of it to the Democrats, but the societal peer pressure on this is immense.
Yeah.
So basically, he thinks that the gay mafia is really just gonna, you know,
They're the new Jews. They have money. They're giving it to Democrats.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh is concerned because he's encountered similar mafias in the past. Just groups of people donating money to Democrats. If you're doing that, you're in a mafia of some sort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of telling that his reaction was like, well, it was basically that they'd already lost. Bill O'Reilly basically said the same thing. He said, the compelling argument is on the side of the homosexual. I like that he always says homosexual.
Always says that. People still think that that's what you're supposed to say.
I know.
Old people think
old people think that. That's like saying Orientals or something like that.
Well, it's also, I mean, it's the clinical term.
It
was invented as sort of like what you were afflicted with.
It has a very like condescending tone to it, though, when it said by someone like Bill O'Reilly, and he knows it.
He probably does.
He's got to know it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said this. This is where the compelling argument is. We're Americans. We just want to be treated like everyone else. That's a compelling argument. And to deny that you've got to have a strong argument on the other side, and the other side hasn't been able to do anything but thump the Bible. So the writing's on the wall once Bill O'Reilly has admitted that all they're up to is thumping the Bible.
But there was some Bible thumping, as you may imagine.
Fox News also giving voice to the other side of the issue.
Sure.
Like they like to.
Fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced. Todd Starnes, who he's a contributor on American Family Radio, said that, basically he said that Christians are going to become second-class citizens because of this.
Yes.
He said it's as if we're second-class citizens now because we supported the traditional biblical definition of marriage.
Which there is
or
not
perhaps we are pro-life. Of. And that means we're somehow second-class citizens who don't deserve to be in the public marketplace of ideas. He is currently in the public marketplace of ideas. He doesn't deserve to be there, but he's succeeding in being in that marketplace.
Yeah.
Whether or not people are buying those ideas is a different story. You can go to any kind of marketplace, whether it's a fake marketplace, like a symbolic marketplace, or a real marketplace. If you're selling something that no one wants, you're not going to do good business.
Exactly.
So
also, there was a lot of polygamy going on in the Bible, just so everybody's clear.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And selling of wives and daughters and things like that. I mean, there's
lots of selling of women. Women... we're not people in the Bible.
Also, if he's concerned about a biblical definition
of anything,
there isn't really one.
No,
not the one that he thinks there is.
The one that there is not a road that we want to go down.
No, not what he's referring to.
But he said The host that he was talking to said, if gay marriage is embraced by the country, if the Supreme Court goes south this week in its hearings, we are for, of course, we're not going to hear about it until June, but we're in for persecution like we've never seen it. Mm-hmm. And Starnes goes, well, it's already started. Yeah.
But Eric Erickson, who is also a Fox News contributor, sort of didn't stop there.
No.
He has a lot of concerns, and they're bonkers.
Very specific concerns.
He says, this is a quote, within a year or two, we will see Christian schools attacked for refusing to admit students whose parents are gay. We will see churches suffer the loss of their tax-exempt status for refusing to hold gay weddings. We will see private businesses shut down because they refuse to treat as legitimate that which perverts God's own established plan. In some places, this is already happening.
What
which
places?
Is not
I would like a list
America.
Of those places.
It's not America.
Right, no, it's other places.
But that is crazy.
Yeah. Also, though, let's break down what he said.
There are some things in there that I'm for.
I was going to say, you know, I don't care what churches do in their own time.
Sure.
I don't think any churches are doing the right thing ever, so that's a problem. But it's sort of a problem for me if Christian schools are not admitting qualified students because their parents are gay. You can't do anything about having gay parents, friends.
No.
If you have stupid parents, you can't do anything about it. If you have mean parents, you can't do anything about it.
Parents who murdered people.
You could have murderer parents.
You could be an upstanding member of society. Your parents could both be on death row.
Exactly. There are so many ways in which your parents could screw you over. And so I don't feel like that's a legitimate way to discriminate anyway. Either. So
we've often talked about churches not being able to have tax exempt status.
Yeah,
which is another thing that
he's concerned about. I don't think that this is the reason why.
No.
There's a longer list of reasons.
Yeah. But private businesses shutting down?
Because they refuse. Well, no. Here's what will happen. There will be a coffee shop somewhere in a college town where the owner will say something homophobic. Or there will be a restaurant in Los Angeles where the owner will say something homophobic. And people will stop going there because they have a conscience. And that restaurant or coffee shop will shut down. But it will be entirely because the owner was a stupid idiot.
Decided to stop going there.
And people stopped giving them business. Not because there was some sort of mass
someone shut them down.
Yeah, like there wasn't an inspector that comes around making sure you're not a homophobic businessman.
Anyway, the other thing, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council.
This is a real concern.
Oh, God. I hadn't thought of this.
No.
So
I'm about to say something controversial, though. So continue.
Okay, all right. He's thinking outside the box.
Yeah, no.
Tony Perkins.
They're really trying to get around.
He's
get
concerned about immigrant polygamists
once that would really
gay marriage.
Here's what I'm going to say. I don't care.
This is good. I know. We sort of touched on this last week.
I'm in favor of any marriage that a person is willingly entering into.
If you want to split your assets with seven
with
wives.
With seven wives. That's your business. It's a stupid idea, but you go for it. Listen, I don't care if three men and six women want to get married in a group. You know, I know someone from high school who lived in a commune for a long time in Brooklyn. He had, he had something like four or five roommates or something like that. They shared a bank account and they just put everything into their bank account and bought everything communally. It sounded like a nice way to live. As long as it's people you trust, you know. And, you know, then I think he got engaged and moved out or whatever, but he didn't have any. Yeah. He had, while it worked for him. Mm-hmm. So why couldn't they get married? I don't give a shit. They want to get married and be able to visit each other in the hospital or whatnot.
Yeah.
Let the polygamists come.
Right. But it was also sort of genius on Tony Perkins' part.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Republicans are very concerned about immigrants.
Right. They're concerned about polygamists, as we can see from their treatment of Mormons.
They're concerned about gays. So if any of the three of those things have anything to do with each other,
It's like
just head exploding.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It could be the worst.
The conservatives.
I'm curious how gay marriage leads to polygamists more than any other kind
of marriage. Well, you don't know.
I'm just sort of wondering how any marriage laws that still define marriage between two people.
Also, why do they have to be immigrants?
Yeah.
If we start having gay marriage, couldn't just anybody start? Do they have to be coming from elsewhere?
It's a mystery to everyone. Also, we already have polygamists.
Yes.
So, deal.
From a religion that your presidential candidate belongs to.
Also, from a religion that was invented in the United States.
Yeah.
It's a homegrown...
Recently.
It's a homegrown group of polygamists. So this is not a problem we're escaping by not having or having gay marriage.
Right.
We could have any kind of marriage and we still have polygamists.
Yes. And
Life goes on.
And I don't think we're probably getting a lot of immigrants from places that have polygamy anymore.
I was going to say...
We were talking about
what countries have polygamous marriage?
Maybe...
Are there countries like in like Saudi Arabia have that? I know people sometimes take multiple wives there, but I don't know if it's legal.
Right.
You know, like, well, and I mean, like,
obviously, whenever Republicans talk about immigration, they're obviously talking about Mexicans.
Right. And Mexicans cannot enter into polygamous marriages, so that is not a concern.
Also, they're all Catholic, so they would never want to.
No, they don't. They're not even going to have gay marriages, really.
No.
But they do. So, yeah. They are, Mexico already has gay marriage, so it's possible, I guess. But, yeah. I mean, this is not... this is not a real thing.
The other place where some real sort of like armchair punditry was going on was Beyonce's Instagram.
Boy.
Oh, it just really devolved into Beyonce some special things.
Had a photo that went viral.
Yes. It was a photo on sort of like a red post-it or something like that, basically. And it said, if you like it, you should be able to put a ring on it. Referencing.
And then it had the world's longest hashtag.
Don't even know if I could read it.
It's, we will unite for marriage equality.
Right.
Here's an idea. Couldn't you just hashtag marriage equality?
No.
It's clear that you're uniting for it if you have a hashtag. Anyone who has the hashtag has united.
Yeah.
But not a wordsmith, I guess. Whatever.
No.
But... Things got real out of hand.
She obviously got, you know, the gays love Beyonce. So she got...
She knows the market.
People had her back.
Yeah.
But some people, some real gaudy people...
They're probably her early fans.
Not happy.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
Basically. And they were telling her that they were, like, questioning her faith. And they were talking about how it was against God. And just, like, all sorts of, like, wackiness. But then... The real gems came when it devolved into a debate about evolution, which is curious at
best. An interesting development.
Anyway, but one of the responses, which was quite spectacular, was, whoever said we evolved from apes is an idiot. If we evolved from apes, how come we're not evolving anymore? And we look nothing like them. Better yet, where did apes evolve from?
These are all questions that
profound
can be answered.
Questions.
All questions with answers. Scientists have answered all of these for you. Sure. Any book on biology will tell
also,
you the
I
answer.
Love how he just sort of, like, assumes that we're no longer evolving.
Right. Well, he assumes that. Also, we look a lot like apes. Like, we look a lot more like apes than we do, like, elephants. Like, what other animals is he, we look more like them than we do, like, mice, and we share most of our DNA with mice. Mm-hmm. I mean, of all the animals that he could have claimed that we, or she, I don't know, could have been a woman.
It's unclear.
But whoever said this clearly has not ever seen an ape, because we look quite a bit like them. Also, we know where apes evolved from. It's the same place we evolved from. Everyone evolved from the same place.
Well, this person has some questionable
This is like
knowledge.
One of those people who was educated using one of those textbooks that they use in the movie Jesus Camp.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those fake the creationist science textbooks. Mm-hmm.
The dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark.
Yep.
For this person,
probably. Yeah. Oh, sure.
We know all about that. I learned about that at the Iowa State Fair this year.
And the dinosaurs were sort of like friendly pets to people.
Yeah.
It's very similar. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I saw the pamphlet that describes all of that.
Oh yeah.
The creationist.
All of the scientific reasons that dinosaurs could have been on the Ark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My question this week was whether the Supreme Court is addicted to fame or their own destruction.
Well, they're really sort of just wading into it.
I can't remember a time in my life when they have been this both relevant and awful.
Sure.
You know, last year we had the Obamacare case, which was already insane. Because I had always felt like that case, they should have been like, fuck you, and then not taken it because it was so stupid.
Yeah.
But whatever, they took it. Now they're taking two gay rights cases, which I thought was really ballsy of them, because I thought that those would be the kind of cases that they would be like, nah, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting that they decided to take them, and then now all of the news from the cases makes it seem like it was sort of like a meh
type situation. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's like, sort of why did they go through the trouble?
Why bother to say that they were going to take them, and then just sort of be like, oh, well.
But they're also going to be hearing a case on affirmative action.
Right, which they've heard within the last 10 years anyway.
Which they've already heard. And which is going to create another sort of like, I mean, this is going to be a closely watched one as well.
Yes. I wonder how much, the tickets aren't going to be as much.
No, definitely not. The tickets aren't going to be as much because the affected group is not going to be as rich. But but it's going to be a controversial case nonetheless.
For
because
sure.
It's basically, it's sort of like they already heard this in like 2003. I think they heard a similar type of case. It was a case against the University of Texas. Using affirmative action to fill spaces in its freshman class. On Monday, they said that they're going to add a case in Michigan, which I think recently overturned their affirmative action policy. So now they don't use affirmative action there. But it basically is the same case as the 2003 case where whether or not you can use race as a factor in admissions. Right. And so we're gonna see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you hear people talk a lot about Justice Roberts and sort of how the historical, you know, how people feel about the court and how he sort of like wants to make his mark and all of those things. Right. So I guess if those things are to be believed, then I guess it's not necessarily so shocking that they're taking all these cases because he apparently is really concerned about what everybody thinks about the court and sort of.
Well, he should be.
Well, this court, he's the Chief Justice, and he's young. He's going to be on the court for another 30 years.
Exactly.
Or could be, anyway.
This is also, in some ways, this goes right along with their decision to take these gay rights cases, because this is about Michigan passing a law to outlaw preferential treatment on race in education,
right.
which is something that was invented to address a type of discrimination that already existed. So it's essentially like a backwards way of like making it possible for allowing discrimination.
Sure.
What I'll say.
Yeah.
I said that in the worst possible way. Like, said that in the least clear way I could. But in any case, they are taking all sorts of controversial cases.
Yeah.
It's like, when you think about historically the Supreme Court cases that we reference all the time, they were all like 30 years apart. Like, we're talking about like Brown versus the Board of Education, yeah, or like Roe v. Wade, or like those cases. They were not all in the same year.
No.
These cases,
or in the same court.
Or in the same court. This is all just like one after another crazy, yeah, court cases we're going to have to keep hearing about forever because, yeah, they're trying to take dramatic cases. It's like they're addicted to drama over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like the world's most boring job. I guess they are addicted to drama.
Oh, God. This story
speaking
is
of being
like
addicted to drama.
A dream wrapped in a, I don't even
another one.
Rainbows or something. Michelle Bachmann is in a huge effing ethics probe right now.
Which, it's surprising that this is the first time that we're reporting this to you. Because we're talking about someone who just, like, fabricates everything that she says.
Yeah, well, she's a liar.
Yeah, she's a professional liar.
Lying liar.
But she's also apparently been committing various campaign finance violations,
sure,
while lying. I mean, it doesn't surprise me from a liar.
No, it doesn't at all. It also doesn't surprise me from a stupid person.
Yes, exactly. She has both of those things going for her.
Yeah, she's a lying idiot.
She's a lying idiot. But apparently, her campaign used funds from a super PAC to pay for a fundraising consultant,
yeah,
which was not allowed
in
the caucuses in Iowa in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know what happens once you get charged with an ethics violation.
Hopefully something dramatic.
I mean, Charlie Rangel had an ethics violation and he lost his chairmanship of the Ways and Means Committee.
Can she be executed?
That's what I was sort of hoping. I was hoping this could have a much higher, much more dramatic penalty.
Of public, I don't know, hanging or firing squad.
Could she just be put in like a muzzle?
Maybe.
Like, I don't care if she walks around doing stuff.
No, I don't either.
I just don't want her to
talk
anymore.
You sort of almost
anymore.
Want her around.
Yeah, that's true. But I just don't want her to be, like, talking anymore.
Right.
I just want her to wander around bewildered by what she sees and
sprinting away from Dana Bash.
Sprinting away from reporters when she can. Yeah.
She really is. I mean,
she's everything and nothing.
Yes. She's a dream.
She's everything and nothing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I know we don't usually do international news, but we say that as a preface every time that we report international news,
which happens
is a lot
more frequently than we wanted to.
Right. But as we know, I've been sort of minorly obsessed with North Korea recently.
Stop right there.
No. Majorly obsessed with North Korea.
Thank you.
Mostly because I've been watching documentaries about everyday life in North Korea,
mm-hmm,
but because of that, it's been catching my eye in the news because,
yeah,
they're also up to a lot of hilarious things in North Korea.
Sure.
Some of the non-hilarious things that they're up to is
declaring war on South Korea,
which they're sort of looking like they're trying to do.
Yeah.
This is all posturing because their new leader is sort of like doesn't know what he's doing and is not.
Sure.
He's trying to get control of a sort of like antsy population, mm-hmm, that is probably sick of being so bored all the time.
Right.
He did open an amusement park in Pyongyang, but that doesn't solve everyone's problems. But in any case, apparently North Korea was also up to photoshopping state propaganda photos with B-52s, like, flying through the sky, or, like, other unidentified military aircraft, like, flying over South Korea. Does the population of North Korea think that they are already at war with South Korea?
They might be.
I mean,
they might.
They feel that... I get the feeling that propaganda there they really over-dramatizes that... minor disagreements in a way that makes them think that they're probably often so. At war.
Well, I think they also probably think that we are about to be at war with them, too. Especially considering this specific story.
Oh,
because
I can guarantee that their state media is reporting that we're in the process of planning to attack.
Right.
That's what they've been reporting that for 50 years, though.
Sure.
That's all they report there. That's all of the news there is about how the U.S. is about to attack them. South Korea is like this pawn in this like weird issue that they have with America.
Yeah. So, and apparently we sent some bombers over to South Korea because they're of, you know... There is sort of some
concern
about, you know, North Korea maybe actually acting on this. They did actually announce that they were in a state of war with South Korea earlier this week. So
this is not the first time that they've made that announcement.
Sure.
And also, their state of war is a suspicious term that
when
you're having to Photoshop the military equipment that you're using for said war.
Well, once you can Photoshop, you know, bombing South Korea. I mean, you can just sort of...
This is some real wag the dog shit.
You can declare victory, too.
Yeah, no, exactly.
We may hear soon that they have won the war against South Korea that never happened.
We made a fictional movie about this in the U.S. years ago.
I know.
That it seems like they're taking cues from.
Well...
A Wag the Dog was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
I'm not going to deny that.
Like, Hollywood, you know, is a good place to maybe steal storylines from.
They don't have great entertainment in North Korea. Maybe they're just creating their own entertainment by stealing the plots of American movies. They don't have great screenwriters over there. That's definitely true. They have some very heavy-handed propaganda writers doing all of their screenwriting. Sure. But... You know, they don't have they only get 5 hours of television or something a night. It's like,
didn't we do a story about like how there's one like white guy over there who plays the villain
and
in all of the movies or
something
like
that? What's hilarious is that he is in like a war of words with this one other white guy who used to live in North Korea. There were two American defectors and they hate each other. And one of them finally left North Korea because he was pissed at the other one and moved to Japan where he now lives. But they won't talk to each other. They've like been asked to like address why they hate each other. And it's like crazy reason. The whole thing is crazy. It's basically that they're at war because they all wanted to be like the one white guy in North Korea, the one defector. They like felt like they weren't getting enough attention for being the most important defector. So, like it's hilarious. And the guy has a son who he had with a Russian woman. So they have this kid who grew up in North Korea, only speaks Korean, like speaks a little English, but with a very thick Korean accent, but is white, like as white as you can be. And
so
it's just
weird.
Like, sort of, he's very popular with the ladies, apparently. She's blonde. The only blonde person in North Korea.
Yeah.
A lot of confusing situations happening over there. All of them fascinating.
I love it.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm obsessed.
Fair enough.
If you're going to be obsessed with anything,
it's
the only country that's, like, not been touched by globalization enough for them to have anything that I relate to.
Right.
You know. Yeah. And they're also in fake war.
Yeah.
Well, we talked the other day about how we were preparing for asteroid attacks. Everyone's been watching too many movies.
I know.
It's like out of control.
Yeah. Another place that hasn't really been touched by globalization is North Dakota.
North Dakota. Much like North Korea. It's just a northern phenomenon, really.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota, we've been reporting about these restrictive North Dakota abortion laws where they're basically planning to ban abortion in the state, which is illegal. But what they're also doing is something that we reported on
other states
weeks ago in other states.
Well, I think Mississippi did this.
Mississippi did it. Alabama did it.
Yeah.
Texas and Virginia have also tried to do it in North Carolina, where they pass what they call trap laws, which are laws that basically like target the clinics that provide abortion and put a lot of demands on them that they can't meet.
Doctors have to have admitting privileges
at local hospitals, and they're all hospitals that don't allow abortion, or their hallways have to be a certain width, or like things that will cost too much for the business to keep going, like the business element of the abortion clinic to keep going. So they effectively shut them down, but they do it with these laws that really fly under the radar.
Right, and that's sort of like what this, at least specific story that we're referencing, it talks about, because like the story that has been, of course, the most popular one to talk about because it's the craziest is the fetal heartbeat.
And it's also the ballsiest it's never been done.
But that's never been done. That's going to be mired in court, you know, in the courts for years potentially. But this trap law, so they can sort of just
Yeah, they can claim it's a public safety law.
It's just as effective as the fetal heartbeat law, if not more, because it's basically going to shut down all of the abortion clinics.
Right, so even if you need an abortion for a safety-related reason, you won't be able to get one.
Right.
The sort of difference, I sort of think about it as, the reason that the other law is getting all this attention is because it will criminalize other acts besides abortions.
Yes.
And that is a problem for women. This law is a problem for women as well, but it basically prevents them from getting abortions even in the case of rape or incest or even, like, any of the cases, that, or in the case of the, you know, their own lives. Right. Like, it prevents...
Because you're murdering a human.
Because you're murdering a human, apparently.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it will prevent women from getting safe health care.
Right.
In general, and it will do it in a way that does not make the news.
Right.
So that when you sort of, like, get down to what the problems with the North Dakota law are, they are too numerous to list.
Yes.
But this is, they have also passed a trap law, and so that's really what's going to shut things down. At a certain point, the fetal heartbeat law is going to be irrelevant because they're not going to have any abortion clinics anyway.
Pass it.
Yeah. I mean, pass it, don't pass it. You're not going to be able to get an abortion in North Dakota, so who cares?
Illegal. Just do like Arizona. It's illegal. It's to illegal get an abortion before you're pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. You can, in Arizona, really one, I mean, you can be pregnant before you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. In North Dakota, it will be illegal to get an abortion before you're pregnant. It'll just be any sort of...
Because you know how popular it is to be getting a, you know...
Well, and the thing, I mean...
Getting abortions when you're not actually pregnant.
It's real.
People love abortions.
They're so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The trap laws also don't have the sort of, like, joke potential that the other laws do. Because the thing about the Arizona law is it basically, like, criminalized having your period. which is sort of what this North Dakota law is going to end up being up to. You know, it's going to criminalize other things. But in any case, this is worth paying attention to because this is sort of like the sneak attack.
Yeah.
This is sort of like the equivalent sneak attack on abortion.
Yeah.
That, you know, like... That having a backwards ban on gay marriages, or that having you know, it's having to vote yes to vote no on things and all sorts of stuff like that. This is what they're doing. This is what the right is sneak attacking abortion with.
Yep.
Meanwhile, other issues in the news: gun control. As always. Joe Donnelly from Indiana came out in favor of background checks.
Yeah,
it's about fucking time.
Finally, yes.
But he put together a little statement that says in very sort of like vague terms that he's in favor of background checks so that people with mental illness don't get their hands on guns. As it turns out, that's not the most effective thing that you can do to prevent people from mental illness from getting guns because we're about to bring you a story about a person with mental illness who had a gun in, I think, a state that had some sort of background check law. Yeah. But in any case...
he's finally there.
Joe Donnelly is finally there.
I don't know why every single...
Mayors are there. That's
But so is 90% of the country in terms of background.
Like, why is this taking so long?
I don't understand why the senators can't just, like... This is a pro for them.
Yeah.
I mean...
Just... And it's also... As I think we said this last week, but, like, why not have... Like, it's not going to hurt things.
No.
It's not going to make it... It's not going to make it, like, more dangerous in the country. So, like, just fucking pass the law.
Yeah.
Speaking of guns, though,
there
was a big release of documents related to Adam Lanza, the shooter at Newtown.
Yes.
Basically, all of the
warrants were released after they had, so we sort of, like, found what was in the house, and it was...
A lot of crazy stuff.
A lot of crazy stuff, basically.
Books on autism.
Uh-huh.
Not surprising.
With, I think, specifically, I don't know if it's in here, like, a section dog-eared about, like, how to train your brain to be happy, or something like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, mental health.
Yes. But, I mean, he still ended up with his gun, because his mom had a freaking arsenal at the house, which we sort of already knew.
Gave him a birthday card with the money to buy a gun.
Yeah. So. Like, when you're buying books about your autistic kid who has been, who we know is...
Who's unhappy?
Is unhappy?
You've had to dog-ear a How to Be Happy page?
Don't get him a gun.
No, it's the wrong choice.
Don't do that.
No, it's a terrible idea.
You know what else he had? A metal bayonet.
Yeah.
What?
Like, why? Why did he need one with all the assault weapons? Seems like a waste.
I know. It totally
What could he have used that for? That
he had a seven-foot pole with a blade on one side of it and a spear on the other.
I mean...
No. 7 foot?
Did he have anything that wasn't horrendously dangerous in his possession at all?
No. Uh-uh.
He had, like, paraphernalia of an image with, like, a dead person covered with plastic. And
or something.
Was that from, like, Dexter?
He had a military-style uniform in his bedroom.
Yeah. Some articles on other shootings, other mass shootings. Uh-huh.
He also had an NRA certificate that was made out to Adam Lanza, and the NRA has said that Lanza was not a member of the NRA.
Incorrect, I guess.
Interesting.
Hmm. Don't want to take credit? Yet here it is, right there in the warrants.
Yeah.
In any case, it was a very disturbing look into the life of an unhappy, crazy person
and
with too many weapons.
And also the amount of, I don't know if it says specifically here, but I mean, I had read the amount of rounds that they found in the house, too. The amount of ammo was just sort of like...
Yeah, insane.
Obviously, you're doing nefarious things with the amount of ammo that he was able to buy.
Yeah, first of all, there's nothing not nefarious to do with even one round of ammo.
Fair
point. But once you have, like, hundreds of rounds,
you're
up to no good. There's no way to be up to not no good with that much ammo.
Yeah.
Speaking of guns, the New Hampshire House finally repealed their short-lived Stand Your Ground law.
Yes.
Which...
And the proponents of the Stand Your Ground law took an interesting
angle
on this. If you don't, I mean, I think everybody probably knows what the Stand Your Ground laws are because of the Florida case. But basically, it's just sort of like if you think that you're under any sort of threat, then
you can just shoot someone.
Shoot people.
Not worry about it.
So New Hampshire sort of got around
to... had this weird phase where they elected a bunch of Tea Partiers. It's a very libertarian state. Mm-hmm. And there was one year where suddenly Tea Partiers got elected.
This
is a state with no motorcycle helmet laws. This is a state where firecrackers are fireworks are legal. Like, it's crazy there already.
They should really just
They have no road signs because they don't pay taxes.
No, they should change their state motto.
To just die.
Die.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Come here and die.
Die.
Yeah. But they went through this weird phase where a bunch of Tea Partiers came into their state house. And it used to be very cordial there, you know, it's very New England-y.
Sure.
But they passed laws saying that you could carry a weapon to the house, like into house sessions.
Oh, yeah.
They started having, like, fist fights
in
their House of Representatives.
Yeah.
And they had passed a Stand Your Ground law because they loved the idea of being able to shoot anyone at random.
Yeah.
But when they were arguing for this law, protect this law, the people who were arguing against the repeal, were arguing that repealing Stand Your Ground would endanger women.
Yes.
Because it would prevent them from...
A women's issue.
Yeah, they made it into a women's issue, which is genius, but crazy.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly, like, women... First of all, are women so unsafe in New Hampshire because of all the freedom going on there that they need this kind of excessive...
Yeah.
They need the right to shoot anyone at any time? And also, this law... Like, do they know that the law doesn't just pertain to women?
I know. Exactly.
Like, that any person in this certain... Like, men can shoot each other, men can shoot women, children, dogs, whatever.
It's just... I mean... It's almost like beating a dead horse to talk about sort of like using your gun as a self-defense.
Right,
especially
if you're a woman, talked about this many
times.
You
almost don't even need to. I was telling Lila earlier in the week because we were talking about this. Like, my cousin, bless her heart, posted an infographic on Facebook, and it was like, the best accessory for your rape whistle. And it was a gun attached to a rape whistle. And I just said
to Lila, logistics.
Of how you would be in the process of getting raped and then decide that you, I have this gun that I should just shoot this person with. Like, it's a ridiculous notion to think that if you are a woman and you are being attacked, that you can then all of a sudden shoot the person.
Yeah.
It's bonkers.
It's crazy. First of all, it's ridiculous for anyone who's not, like, a Navy SEAL to think that they will know how to wield a gun in a situation
or even
like
a woman. I mean,
I was going to say, like, it's ridiculous for a woman to think that. It's ridiculous for most men to think that.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous for anyone to think that they'll know what to do in that situation. Yeah.
But also, like, once you've already been, like...
When we're talking specifically about this as a woman's right, you're being attacked by something. Like, the whole reason that this is a scary image is because we're getting the image of a big guy attacking a small woman.
Right.
Like, suddenly this woman is going to be able to successfully wield a gun at this guy?
No.
Like, not any more successfully than he's going to take the gun away from you and wield it at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's crazy.
But... At least they're getting rid of that.
Good work, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I think they're finally coming to their senses. They had, like, this sort of... They had, like, the dark ages of New Hampshire sort of depressing. Good news. Fast food workers are still really not going to have health care under Obamacare. So all those businesses that were going to fire everyone can rest easy.
They don't have to.
Basically,
the fine is going to be less than what they would have to be paying into it to get the health care.
Exactly.
So
they, and also, everyone's going to turn it down because it's going to be too expensive on minimum wage to afford the health care plans that are offered.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
they're just going to pay the $95 fine.
Right.
And then they're not going to have health care.
Exactly. Everyone's going to go back to life as usual.
Perfect.
So, you know, who was it? What was it? Like,
well, at least
Chipotle or Popeyes or somebody that was going to... Or Wendy's that was going to fire everyone. Some pizza place, maybe. There were a bunch of them.
At least all of the fat Republicans eating at Chick-fil-A can rest assured that the people serving them don't have health care.
Thank God.
Because if there's one thing that we know that they hate, it's
people other people having health care. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Especially, God forbid, fast food workers have it.
No, that would be a real danger. That's endangering your freedom.
It is.
That's your freedom is under attack when other people who have make healthcare. Almost no money get to have health care.
Right.
That's all I can say about that. I feel like my freedom is under attack because I did not realize that I was paying so much in tax dollars to, like, cover George Bush's $85,000 phone bill.
I know. This was the craziest thing ever. There was this recent study done because I guess it's not a ton of money ultimately.
No.
But basically all of the living presidents basically racked up sort of like a $3.7 million bill last year from the federal government.
Right.
It goes to sort of like, I guess they
probably get... Secret Service detail.
Yeah, and things like
office
that.
Office space.
But not shockingly, the most expensive, George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And he was at, of the $3.7 million, he was at $1.3 million. And it was $400,000 for an 8,000 square foot office. And $85,000 in telephone costs. And Lila and I, at the exact same moment upon reading the story, said... What? $85,000 in telephone costs?
Why doesn't he have unlimited minutes?
As a regular citizen.
Right. I'm able to get unlimited minutes on my
cell
phone.
And even if he has 10 phone lines.
No, I can't imagine how much phone calling you would need to do for that kind of money. Like,
it's insane.
Not only would you have to spend all day on the phone every day, but you would have to have multiple people doing that. Around.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to have an army of people who do nothing but talk on the phone to foreign countries to rack up that kind of debt. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
I would like a breakdown of how that $85,000... Like, I want to
see... Can I get a line item?
Yeah.
Phone
I'm just
bill,
sort of
please.
Curious what his phone bill looks like.
Yeah. Maybe we can submit a...
Freedom of Information Act request? Oh my God, we should do that.
Shouldn't we?
Yeah. We should definitely do that.
Yeah, okay.
That seems important. Meanwhile, apparently... First of all, apparently libertarians are terrible study doers.
They are.
That's one.
Because there's a new one out.
They're the least scientific people on the planet, and we can prove it now. Because we just brought you a story about North Dakota's restrictive abortion laws.
Right.
Did we not? We did. Apparently, that's the freest state in the union.
Mm, yes.
Least free was like New York. Or California or something. Mm. California was one of the least free also.
Yeah.
So
there was some think tank, some libertarian think tank. And the things that they used to sort of make this scale of the free states is questionable at best.
Well, right. I mean, they used liberties like marijuana.
Sure.
They talked, you know, gay marriage, things like that were weighed in the rankings. But they decided not to weigh abortion because they didn't want to take a political position on it.
And they weighted most heavily taxation, which was why New York ended up being number one.
Because it has high taxes.
Yeah.
That's why California is so low on the list as well. North Dakota... No taxes, but you can't get an abortion there, so no women's rights either. It's just because of the timing, just like the silliest thing I've ever...
Like, it is.
They couldn't have timed this better.
I know.
They chose, like, one of the two most defining issues of the month.
I know.
And decided not to include one of them in their study of freedom. It's crazy. But apparently, New Yorkers, you live in the least free state in the union.
Mm-hmm.
You're the most restricted when it comes to everything except things that matter. Anyway, moving on.
Next.
You may not have known how genius a quote maker Don Young is, because I certainly did not.
I didn't either.
He's been getting a lot of flack recently for using the term wetbacks.
Yes. And he won't apologize for it either.
Right.
Because he used it, got a lot of blowback,
right.
And then... decided that he was just going to...
Well,
he's not apologizing.
He's a congressman. The GOP asked him to apologize.
Yeah, he won't.
And he won't.
Yeah.
So, that's hilarious.
But some other gems from
he's
him.
Historically been hilarious and no one's
he's
known
great.
About it.
Yeah.
That's, I had not realized that he had amassed such a great list.
Yeah. but he was... We're just going to run through some of them.
Yeah, we just need to run through some of them.
he was sort of talking about a way to avoid domestic violence. Yeah. And his reasoning was, here it was, he says, if you want to drink by yourself, you may do it. But when you drink together, the possibility of harm becomes greater every day.
Drink alone.
Drink alone.
Only drink alone.
To avoid domestic violence.
Don't beat your wife. If you don't drink with your wife, you won't have to beat her. If you each drink individually, you won't be able to abuse each other.
Yep. He once misattributed...
Like made up a quote by Abraham Lincoln. Made that was quote. Actually like some pundit or like conservative think tank right. person.
And it was basically about how the Congress people should be hanged.
Right, for being against war.
Uh-huh. Attributed to Abe Lincoln. On the House floor, I think. Actually, yeah, he no. said it too.
But Michelle Bachmann has shown us that you can say anything on the House floor. He once called environmentalists a self-centered bunch of waffle-stomping, Harvard-graduating intellectual idiots. They are not Americans, never have been Americans, never will be Americans. Mm-hmm. He basically took, like, a bunch of great things and put them in a list together to describe what... Like, it basically means that to be American, you can't be intellectual.
You can't have gone to Harvard,
which is where every president has gone. And I don't know what waffle stomping means.
No.
But it sounds nefarious, I guess. I don't know. It sounds like the kind of thing that Republicans would be against.
Republicans probably know what it is.
Yeah. They probably are against it. It sounds fun. It sounds like it involves a sweet breakfast treat.
Yes, it does. When he was in an education funding battle in 2007, he likened members of Congress to the mink in my state that kill their own. And then he went on to say, there's always another day when who that bite will be killed too, and I am very good at that. So basically he was
threatening murder.
To kill other Congress people. Yeah. Like a mink, like a dangerous mink.
He once also wore a propeller hat to a session where they questioned Ken Salazar, who was the Interior Secretary, to show how lightly he took the concerns about the Obama energy program.
He also mysteriously waved a walrus penis bone at the incoming chief of the Fish and Wildlife Service, Molly Beattie.
That's a thing Why? To do. We don't How did he really acquire know. A walrus penis bone? I've never been offered one in my life. So.
It's on his desk.
It just keeps it on his desk. To remind him what's what in the world. But the sort of like most delusional thing that he said is he was in talking about the BP oil spill. Said, this is not an environmental disaster. And I'll say that again and again, because it's a national phenomenon. Oil has seeped into the ocean for centuries. It will continue to do so.
Clearly.
Sort of lacks a scientific understanding of what happens when to oil.
Also lacks an understanding of the definition of seeping.
Yeah. Fair enough. but that is sort of a... Sort of... We should keep our eye on him, I guess, in the future.
We're going to have to watch the news
We
for
didn't...
Him.
No.
I wouldn't have known to look for him until he started calling people wetbacks.
No, exactly.
And now that I know, he's on my list.
On the list. It's one of the great quote makers.
He's been listed.
In final news, it was Soledad O'Brien's last week at CNN. Mm-hmm. She had some choice parting words, though.
She did. And you can sort of take these however you may, but I think that they were intended to be as pointed as she could be probably while still on their air.
Yeah.
And while still actually... I think under contract with them because she's going to be doing long form stuff for them.
Right.
So she probably couldn't tell them screw off, but this is probably as close as she could get to telling people to screw off because what she said was she says, so I think if I've learned anything over the past years, it's that facts matter and we shouldn't be afraid to have tough and honest conversations and maybe even argue a little bit when there's a lot at stake. And yes, Governor Sununu, I'm talking to you, which was sort of funny, but I think that she really is sort of like, you know, sending that.
Well, she's
CNN's
the last
way.
Fact reporter at CNN.
Exactly.
So.
And she would like people to remember that. And she would also maybe like them to continue reporting facts after she leaves. Not convinced they have any intention
of doing
so. They're
not going to do that. No, that's. But I mean, as long as she's sort of like associated with them, she obviously hopes that she can inspire a little fact reporting to go on.
Yeah.
But
we're going to miss her.
We're going to miss her. Yeah, I don't know who can take up her mantle at this point.
Because
the only person, like, you know, we can watch the MSNBC hosts and they do, you know, say a lot of, you know, they go on good rants and things like that. She's the only person who could get the kind of guests that she was able to get and lay into them.
Right.
I mean, that was, I think, the difference between her and any MSNBC host. Like, I love Rachel Maddow as much as the next person, but she's, you know, Governor Sununu is not going on her show.
No.
So, it's sort of like...
She could sort of sneak attack people.
Yeah.
Basically, like... People on
and that's
MSNBC
what she did.
Or Fox can't do.
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, once you go on Fox, you know the
Governor,
kind of conversation you're in for.
Governor Sununu was not expecting to get in a huge fight with her about
Medicare. No, none of the people that she
television.
None of the people that she did this to were. And that is why she was such a genius.
Yes. And that's why she will be missed at CNN, because now we've just got, what's his name, Cuomo and Aaron Burnett.
Aaron Burnett's the worst.
Ugh. Oh, did you see who's hosting? They thought that Aaron Burnett was going to be hosting the morning show. Did you see that she's not? They announced who's hosting the morning show, and it's that other woman who's really young, who sort of is only known for having misannounced that Obamacare got overturned on CNN.
Oh, no.
Yep.
So they are literally replacing her with a non-fact reporter.
Correct.
Because they're replacing her with someone who's only ever reported one incorrect fact.
She is only known for having...
for a single incorrect fact that correct. She reported.
Yep.
Boy, they're really...
You're going for it.
Going for it, yeah. In any case, Soledad, we'll miss you.
Miss you.
We hope to hear from you soon.
Mm-hmm. Maybe contacting you.
Yeah, we may be contacting you. And that's the news this week.
That's it.
Next week might be slow again because all the news was this week.
It was.
But, you know, we'll be here. We'll report something.
Yeah.
It'll be great. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.